Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. The book of Hebrews, chapter 1. Today we're going to see that God does indeed speak to His people. The God of the universe. The Lord of lords and King of kings. The supreme ruler of all things speaks to His people. The Creator speaks to His creation. The one who is all-powerful and all-wise speaks to His people. The God who is eternal and infinite and holy speaks to His people. That's mind-boggling if you pause to think about it. But the writer of Hebrews makes that truth very clear to us in chapter 1, in the first two verses of that chapter. In respect for the Word of God, let me ask you to stand. God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom He also made the world. You may be seated. May God bless the reading and the hearing and most of all the obeying of His Word. As amazing as it sounds, it is nevertheless true that God speaks to His people. Now, that shouldn't surprise us really. It shouldn't surprise us because God's all about having a love relationship with His people. And if you're going to have a love relationship, you and I know, you got to have communication. You men know that, don't you? How important it is to talk to your wives. Have a meaningful conversation if you're going to develop that love relationship. Well, since God's all about developing a love relationship with us, we should expect that He would also communicate to us. Now, we've been looking at the seven realities of experiencing God. You remember the first reality was that God is at work around us. The second reality, you will remember, is that God pursues a love relationship with us that is personal and practical. And then thirdly, we saw the third reality is that God invites us to join Him in what He's doing. And then the fourth reality is what we will see today, starting today, and it will last several weeks, and that is that God speaks to His people. How else can we know what God wants us to join Him in doing if He doesn't speak to us and let us know? And so God does indeed speak to His people. And when God speaks to His people and invites us to join Him in what He's doing, then that brings us to the crisis of belief. Because it's a God-sized task and we know we cannot do it in ourselves. And it also brings us to the next reality, which is adjustments that we need to make in our life if we're going to follow God. And then as we make those adjustments and we obey God, then God works through us to accomplish His will and we experience God in greater and deeper ways and grow in our love relationship with Him. It's all about the love relationship. God uses you, not because He has to have you to accomplish what He wants to accomplish, because He doesn't. He uses us because He wants to develop the love relationship with us, and the way it's developed is by Him joining us, asking us to join Him, inviting us to join Him, and working through us to accomplish His will. So today, we're looking at the reality that God speaks to His people. Now, the writer of Hebrews tells us three things. First, God spoke to His people in the Old Testament through the prophets. Secondly, God spoke to His people in the New Testament times through His Son, Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, God speaks today through the Holy Spirit. Now, this is the outline of the message today. I'm going to talk about all three of these. How God spoke through the prophets, how God spoke through Jesus, and how God speaks today through the Holy Spirit. First, God spoke to His people in the Old Testament days through the prophets. In verse 1, God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways. Now, the first thing I want you to notice is that it was God who spoke through the prophets. These human prophets were simply God's mouthpiece. All revelation is from God. He is the source. God moved upon these men in such a way that they spoke the words that He wanted them to speak to His people. 2 Peter puts it this way in chapter 1, verse 21. For no prophecy was ever made by the act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. And so these prophets, when they spoke in the Old Testament, they were not speaking their own words, though they were speaking words through their own mouths. But God moved in them in such a way through the Holy Spirit that they were actually speaking His words. Now, secondly, not only was God the one who was speaking, but the writer of Hebrews tells us also that God spoke through these men in many various ways. For example, sometimes He spoke in an audible voice to the prophets. You remember when He came to Moses in the burning bush? God spoke audibly. Moses! Moses! When God came to young Samuel, when he was there with Eli and called out his name, Samuel, Samuel, it was an audible voice. Samuel got up and he went into where Eli was because he thought Eli was talking to him. It was audible. Also, God spoke sometimes through dreams to His people. Remember Joseph had the dream that the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to him. This was God telling him that he was going to be a leader someday over his family. God came to Solomon in a dream when He promised to impart to Solomon wisdom above all. So God spoke in an audible voice sometimes. He spoke in dreams sometimes. He spoke in visions sometimes. Ezekiel the prophet had the vision of the wheel within the wheel. Isaiah in chapter 6 had a vision into heaven when he saw the Lord on His throne high and lifted up. And His train filled the temple. At times God spoke through the prophets by means of angels. The angel Gabriel came to Daniel over in Daniel and gave him understanding of the future and what was going to happen. An angel came to Sarah's handmaiden Hagar and told her to go back. She had run away from Sarah because of the ill treatment she felt she was receiving. And the angel said, go back. God sometimes spoke in a gentle whisper, as the case with Elijah, when he went up on the mountain and there was a mighty earthquake and there was a mighty wind, but God was not in any of those. He was in the gentle whisper. And so God spoke in the Old Testament in many various ways. Now, though God spoke in various ways, there are several characteristics that are the same. And we need to recognize these. First, when God spoke, it was unique to their particular situation. God didn't speak to everybody in a burning bush, only to Moses. Secondly, when God spoke, they knew it was God who was speaking. When God spoke to Moses in the burning bush, Moses knew it was God before they'd finished. Joseph knew that God had given him the dream that he would be a ruler someday. When Isaiah had the vision of heaven, he knew God was speaking to him. Thirdly, when God spoke, He would reveal what they were to do. He told Moses, go and lead my people out of Egypt. He told Hagar, go back to Sarah and Abraham. When He spoke to Samuel with the audible voice, he told Samuel to be his prophet. When he spoke to Isaiah in that vision of heaven, he said, "Who can I send? Who will go for me?" He was commissioning Isaiah to go and be his spokesman. And fourthly, when God spoke, that was their encounter with God. When God spoke to Moses in the burning bush, he knew he was encountering God. And God said, "Take off your shoes, Moses, for you're on holy ground." When God spoke to Hagar through the angel, she knew she'd encountered God because she named that place El Roi, which is God sees. When they were spoken to by God, they knew they had encountered God. So God spoke in the Old Testament through the prophets. God spoke to His people in the New Testament days through His Son Jesus. Again, chapter 1, verse 2. "In these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world." Now, the writer of Hebrews is making the point that God's supreme spokesman is Jesus. That though He spoke in the Old Testament days through the prophets, they were only a foreshadow of His ultimate supreme spokesman, who would be His own Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the ultimate prophet. John, over in chapter 1, verse 1, calls Jesus the Word. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." What does John mean when he calls Jesus the Word? What are words to us? How do we use words? Words are a way we express ourselves. Words express our likes, our dislikes. We use words to communicate what's going on inside of us. In fact, there is and can be no communication, no exchange of ideas, no expression without the use of words. You might be thinking, "But wait a minute, preacher, haven't you ever played charades? You know, no words are used there, it's just all motions." Oh, but your words are used because your thoughts are words. Maybe not spoken words, but you see, our thoughts are words. There is no other way we can express ourselves without words being involved in either the expression or the interpretation of the expression. So when John says Jesus is the Word of God, he is saying Jesus is the expression of God. He is the ultimate manifestation of God. He is God's spokesman. He is God's revelation. He expresses what God likes, what God dislikes. He expresses what's going on with God. And he goes on to tell us, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Not only is Jesus the Word, the expression of God, the ultimate expression, but that Word took on humanity. The Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. The word dwelt, as you know, is the word tabernacle. The same word used in the Old Testament in the Greek version to speak about that tent of meeting where God resided with His people in the Old Testament. And what John is saying is the expression of God, the Word of God, took on humanity, and God's presence among His people was in the person of Jesus Christ, His Son. He was the perfect expression of God. He was the visible expression of the invisible God. Jesus was the walking, breathing, living God among mankind. Jesus was such a perfect expression of God that when Philip said to him one day, "Jesus, show us the Father God," Jesus said, "Philip, you don't need to see God the Father because you've seen Me. And if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. I am the visible expression of the invisible God," Jesus was saying. And so God spoke to His people supremely in the New Testament days through His Son Jesus. What was His main message? What was the main message that Jesus was proclaiming on behalf of God the Father? I want to have a love relationship with my people. That was the supreme message. That was the supreme expression. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Love. But God demonstrated His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Love. Over in 1 John, He defines love. For this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He first loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. It's all about love. God desires a love relationship with His people. That is a supreme message that Jesus came to proclaim. Because without words, there can be no communication. And without communication, there can be no love relationship. So God speaks to His people so that He can have a love relationship with us. And in the Old Testament days, He spoke through the prophets. In the New Testament days, He spoke through Jesus, His Son. How does He speak today? Jesus is no longer with us. Does He speak today? That brings up two questions. Does God still speak to His people today? And if He does, how does He speak to His people? Well, God speaks today through the Holy Spirit. When Jesus told His disciples that He was about to die and leave them, they became very anxious. Understandably. They had been with Jesus for several years now. They had heard His teachings. They had come to recognize that He was the Son of God, and that in a sense, they understood that God was with them in Jesus. Now they were thinking that He was going to be taken away. How would they know what God was going to say to them? How would they know God's truth now? How would they relate to God when Jesus was gone? They were upset. They were concerned. They were worried. They were anxious. And so Jesus gives them some words of comfort. He basically says, the Father's going to send someone else to take my place. And He will be God's expression to you. He will speak God's words to you. Over in John chapter 14, verse 16, this is what Jesus told them. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. Now, there are two things Jesus is telling His disciples. First, when He leaves, the Father is going to send them another helper. And that word another in the Greek carries the idea of another like Him. He's going to send you a helper. He's going to send you someone else to help you. And that one will be with you forever. He's not going to leave you after several years like I'm having to leave. He is going to be with you forever. And then over in John 14, verse 26, Jesus goes on to tell them that this helper would teach them God's truth. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, He lets us know who that helper is, whom the Father will send in my name, in my person, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said. Is saying that the Holy Spirit would be God's spokesman to them. That He would be God's communicator with them to keep the love relationship going. He would lead them into all truth. He would help them remember what Jesus had told them. Now, from the Bible, we know that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. And that the Holy Spirit is God's way to communicate with His people today. Paul said it this way over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. A passage that many of you are familiar with. You'll recognize it. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. Now, how many times have we heard that verse? When people want to talk about how great God is and how God is so much wiser and His ways are not our ways and His thoughts are so much above our thoughts, they'll quote this verse. You know, God says that the things we haven't seen, ears have not heard, it's not even entered into our heart. All the great things God's got planned. Like, hey, we can't know them. But they failed to move on to the next verse. For to us, God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Paul says, oh yeah, God's got great things in store for His people. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard. But the Holy Spirit has been given to us to reveal these things to us. The Holy Spirit is God's spokesman today. He shows us what God is doing around us that we might join Him. And as we join Him, we experience Him working through us. And that draws us deeper into a love relationship with Him. I'd like to summarize. God spoke through the prophets in the Old Testament days to His people. God spoke in the New Testament days through His Son Jesus. God still speaks today to His people through the Holy Spirit. You say, but how? How does God speak through the Holy Spirit to His people? Well, He speaks through the Bible. He speaks through prayer. He speaks through circumstances. He speaks through the church. And if you'll come back in the next several weeks, we're going to talk about each of these so you can understand better how God speaks through circumstances, how He speaks through the Bible, how He speaks through prayer. Because it is imperative that we know when God has spoken. How else can you join Him in what He's doing? How can you recognize His invitation if you do not know He has spoken? But He does speak. He speaks today through His Spirit. Many of you are familiar with Hudson Taylor, who was a missionary to China for many years. Hudson Taylor relates in his autobiography about his voyage from England to China. He was a young man going over there to begin his mission work. And in one of the incidents that took place, we can see the Holy Spirit speaking to him to join in what God was doing. He tells the case when they were on their voyage and they came close to New Guinea. In fact, the northern coast of New Guinea. And it seems that the northern coast of New Guinea has dangerous reefs there. And the ship was such a time that the winds had stopped. And back in those days, of course, they only had sail ships. They did not have steamboats. You had to go with the wind or you didn't go. And at this time, he said that the wind had just stopped. In fact, they'd even taken the sails down. And it was on a Sunday morning, and he was delivering the sermon there. And he noticed the captain kept getting up and walking over and looking over the side of the ship. So after the service was over, Hudson Taylor went up to him and asked him what was going on. He said, well, as you can see, we have no wind. But the problem is there's a four-knot current that is driving us toward these reefs. And we are getting dangerously close to them. And it looks like we're going to hit the reefs and the ship will be damaged and we'll probably sink. So the captain dispatched some sailors in a long boat to try to turn the ship around and change the direction of the ship. The current was so strong that it was to no avail. And so the captain told Hudson Taylor, "We've done all we can do. It looks like before the afternoon is over, we'll be in grave danger." At that point, the Holy Spirit spoke to Hudson Taylor. And Hudson Taylor said to the captain, "No, that's not all we can do." He said, "There are four Christians on this boat." The captain was one of them. Hudson Taylor was one of them. There were two others. "We can all go to our cabins and we can pray and ask God to start up the wind to take us away from these dangerous reefs." So the captain agreed. So Hudson Taylor says they went to their respective cabins, and speaking of his own prayer time, he said he had not prayed long until God gave him the satisfaction that his prayer was answered, that God was going to send the wind. And so Hudson Taylor went out of his cabin. He went up on deck, and the first mate was running the ship because the captain was praying. And the first mate was an unbeliever. And so Hudson Taylor went up to him and said, "I think you need to put up the sails." And the first mate said, "Why? Why put up the sails? We don't have wind." Hudson Taylor said, "Oh, but one's coming." And the first mate looked at him like he was crazy. And about that time, they had, the little sail that's way up at the top of the mast, it began to wave a little bit. And Hudson Taylor said, "See, look." And the first mate said, "Oh, that's just a cat's paw, which is just a brief puff of wind." And Hudson Taylor said, "We don't have any time to waste. We're getting so close to these reefs, you need to put down the sails because God's sending a wind." And so the first mate lowered the sails, and sure enough, God sent the wind, and the ship was taken away from the dangerous reefs, and he safely arrived in China. You see, God still speaks to his people today through the Holy Spirit. This next fellow, his name is Rees Howells. He lived over in Wales and started a Bible college there during World War II. Now, one of the stories that is written in the book, Rees Howells' Intercessor by Norman Grubbs, and I would recommend the book. During World War II, it was a practice at this college, Rees Howell founded the Bible College, for them to get together in prayer twice during the evening. They would get together around 6 o'clock, and then they would get together again around 10 o'clock and pray. But on this particular evening in September of 1943, as they gathered for their 10 o'clock prayer meeting, Rees Howells said to them that God had spoken to him and told him that the British troops that were about to land in Salerno, Italy, were in very perilous conditions. That if they did not beseech God and pray through, that the mission would be lost. Now, this came as a surprise to those at the college because what they had heard was that everything was going great in Italy and that they were right in the processes of just a little while driving out the Nazis. So this kind of came as a surprise to them. But nevertheless, the Spirit of God moved in their midst and they began to pray earnestly that God would move miraculously and deliver the British troops. 11 o'clock, they began to sense the Spirit of God lifting the burden and replacing it with the mantle of gladness. And they began to praise God and they began to sing praises to God. And they noticed it was exactly at 11 o'clock that God had given them the assurance that He was answering their prayer. Well, they waited pensively to the 12 o'clock midnight to get the news report on the radio. And when the newscaster came on, he said that the troops in Salerno, Italy, were in very perilous conditions and that they were in danger of having great casualties and failing in their mission. Well, this just confirmed for the college even more that indeed Rees Howells had heard from God and that their prayers had been answered. Well, they waited and waited. Finally, several days later, on Thursday, the newspaper came out. Remember, things didn't work. Communication was much slower back then. Finally, they saw the newspaper that said, "Miracle takes place in Salerno." A reporter who was on the scene was writing the article. He said when they began to storm the beaches at Salerno that the Germans were shooting the artillery and the gunfire ceaselessly at them, and says that they were just taking casualty after casualty, and it looked like they were going to be totally wiped off and unable to establish a beachhead there, when suddenly the Germans stopped firing. And they waited. And the reporter said he looked at his watch, and it was 11 o'clock. The same time God had given Reese Howell in those prayers there at the college, his assurance of prayer was answered. They waited. They waited at the beach, and the Germans never took up fire again. And during that night, the British were able to establish a beachhead, and that made the difference in victory or defeat. God speaks today. God speaks to people at Wesa. Amen. We have a group that gathers to pray on Tuesday nights for our church and what we're going through, and the with the consultants and the decisions that we're making. And they gather and they pray. God speaks to these people. I was aware a few weeks ago of some strife and contention going on in our church. I've not said anything to any of these prayer members about it. But I got an email from Slater, who heads up the prayer team, and he said, "God impressed us tonight to pray for unity and for peace at Westside." God speaks to His people so that we might join Him in what He's doing and grow in our relationship to Him. Let's pray. Father, thank You that You do speak to us, and You call us into a love relationship with You, that we might grow deeper and deeper in our intimacy with You, that we might worship and adore You, our Lord and our God. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to give you an opportunity today to respond as the Holy Spirit has spoken to you. Maybe you just need to come and pray. Maybe you are burdened about someone or something going on in your own life, and you need to just come and pray, and you want somebody to pray with you. If you come over to my right, someone will join you and pray with you. If you just want to pray by yourself, you can come over to this side. Maybe you've never come to that place in your life that you personally surrendered to Jesus as your Lord and entered into that love relationship with God. He invites you today. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He says, "Take my yoke upon you. My load is light. My burden is easy." Jesus calls us to come unto Him. If you've never come to Jesus, surrendered all that you are to all that He is, acknowledging that you can do nothing to save yourself, but He's done everything, by living a perfect life, by dying on the cross for your sins, by being resurrected from the dead, and ascending into heaven, and just come and cast yourself upon His mercy, saying, "I want to follow You, Jesus. I want You to be my Savior and my Lord."